reminding us that perspective can change everything. And with that in mind, I want us to turn our hearts to scripture today. Sister Sylvia read the scripture that will be the foundation of what my sermon will be today. But if you missed it, I want to read it again. And it's coming from Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me, Romans chapter 4, 18 through 21. And if you do not have your Bible, it will be listed on the screens behind me. Again, that's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. And it reads, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." My sermon title is Faith in God's Promises, Trusting in the Release. Faith in God's Promises, Trusting in the Release. So my little girl Harper experienced her very first trunk or treat when she was 4 years old. She was excited when we arrived to Trunk or Treat. And when we walked in, her eyes lit up with wonder. She was shocked at all the cars filled with candy. She was looking at all the shiny chocolates, colorful gummies, all sorts of delightful sweets. Harper could hardly contain herself. She dashed from car to car, her little bag getting heavier and heavier with every handful of goodies she collected. Each treat was a new adventure, and she couldn't wait to try them all. And my husband and I were so caught up in her joy and excitement that we weren't paying attention that she was eating as she was picking. She kept saying, "Look at all this candy," as she shouted and was stuffing her face with all the candy too. After a while, we noticed that her tummy was getting a little big and she looked a little uncomfortable. And so I asked her, I said, "Harper, are you all right?" And she said, "Mommy, I don't feel so good." So I took her and I sat her down and she stared with me and she had a little gleam in her eye. I said, "Uh-oh." I said, "Well, go get a trash can. And before he could, out came tumbling out all the candy on the floor. It came tunneling out. Yeah, she felt yucky from all the sugary treats that she had eaten too fast. She had indulged in all the candy. And I gently reminded her that enjoying candy is okay, but we have to take our time, savor a piece at a time. Now, as Halloween rolls around each year, Harper barely eats candy. She don't really even eat it. It's more of the thrill of the day, you know, picking it up. And plus, it's a little easier on her tummy now. You know, just like children who must learn to savor their treats rather than gorge themselves, we must, too, cultivate our faith with intention and patience, allowing God's promises to nourish our souls without overwhelming us. His promises can feel like an abundance of candy. So much goodness that we want to take it all in at once. Yet, if we rush, we might miss the depth of his love and the richness of his grace. By approaching our faith with the same care we would with those delicious sweets, we can appreciate each promise and blessing, allowing them to fill us up in a way that truly nourishes our hearts. In doing so, we find that the journey of faith is not just about the destination, but the joy of experiencing God's goodness, one sweet moment at a time. You see, in Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21, Apostle Paul writes a letter to the Romans. He addresses a community grappling with profound questions of faith, grace, and righteousness. And at the heart of Romans 4 is the story of Abraham and a pivotal figure in biblical history. See, Paul emphasizes Abraham's extraordinary faith in God's promises, even when his circumstances appear dire. God called Abraham to leave his homeland and venture into unknown territory, promising him to become the father of many nations. However, Abraham was faced with significant trials along the way. He was nearly 100 years old, and his wife, Sarah, was barren. And despite these seemingly insurmountable obstacles, Abraham did not waver in his faith. He believed in God's promises, fully convinced that God had the power to fulfill what he had declared. See, this powerful narrative just serves as a foundational example for us. It teaches us that faith is not merely about believing that something will happen. It's about trusting in God's integrity, the one who makes and keeps promises. Abraham's story invites us to cultivate a persevering faith in a world of uncertainties. You know, before I became a lead pastor, I also was a missions pastor, and I envisioned a life with travel, exploring the beauty of God's creation worldwide. I also imagined that I would leave outreach initiatives, you know, helping people who was experiencing lack of food, who didn't have clothes, helping those students that may experience lack of education, all of those things. I believed that I would be able to make tangible differences in the lives of those who needed it most. However, the reality of being close to the most vulnerable and marginalized individuals was more complex than I had anticipated. See, when you get proximate to the suffering, you witness some of the most devastating reality: hunger, homelessness, desperation, and despair. It often left me grappling with questions like, why is there so much pain and hurt around me? Why can't there ever be enough resources? Why aren't there more people doing something? Why does what I do feel so insignificant compared to the magnitude of the lack? I'd often return, not constantly hopeful, but empty, hopeless, and stuck. I was just one person facing immense needs that seemed insurmountable. And I'd pray, God, you called me to have faith and you said you would use me, but why don't I see the evidence of your promises? It felt as though the world's weight rested on my shoulders, and despite my efforts, I struggled to see how I could make a difference amid such overwhelming need. And in those moments of doubt and despair, I longed for clarity and purpose, yearning to understand how my small actions could contribute to a greater good. Wrestling with these thoughts while trying to believe that God was still at work challenging, even when the evidence felt so elusive. You know, Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. This verse resonated deeply, illuminating the truth that success in our pursuits of faith and service is not solely determined by our strength or by speed, but rather by the divine orchestrations of God's promises and timing. it serves as a powerful reminder that while I may feel small in the face of great need, the perspective of faith allows us to see that God's promises are at work in many ways, even when we don't always recognize it. No matter how insignificant it may seem, every act of kindness can be infused with God's power and purpose. Each thread matters in the great tapestry of His creation. See, my faithfulness in the journey is what truly counts. Your faithfulness in the journey is what truly counts. Embracing this perspective helps us to trust that God is working in us and through us and through others, weaving together a beautiful story of hope, healing, and transformation. You know, as I reflect on my own struggles and power of perspective, I can't help but to think of Abraham and the profound lessons woven in his story. In Romans, Abraham is often celebrated for his unwavering faith. But it's important to remember that he too faced some hardships along the way. He witnessed his people endure immense trials and tribulation. The pain of barrenness, the uncertainty of wandering, the weight of his own doubts. Imagine the feelings he must have grappled with as he held onto God's promises that he would be the father of many nations while seeing his wife barren. Imagine seeing that he would be of the promise of having blessings countless of the stars amidst of a famine and conflict and his family struggles. Abraham must have experienced moments of fear and frustration. He saw the suffering around him and might have questioned why God's promises felt so distant. How could he believe in a future filled with blessings when the present was marked by hardship and uncertainty? Yet, despite these challenges, Abraham chose to trust in God's faithful promises. He stood firm in his conviction, believing God's plan was more significant than his immediate struggles. But Sarah's story serves as a potent reminder of the struggle we all face when standing firm in faith while great need knocks at our door. You know, despite God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, Sarah grew impatient as years passed without the fulfillment of that promise. See, feeling the weight of her barrenness, she took matters into her own hands by suggesting that Abraham have a child with her servant Hagar. See, this decision led to the birth of Ishmael, a choice made in haste that ultimately brought about complications and strife. Family, it's easy to understand Sarah's mindset in those moments of desperation. See, the desire for control and longing for resolution can push us all to act impulsively rather than waiting for God's perfect plan. This temptation is something we have all encountered at some point in our life. Our natural inclination is to buckle up and tackle everything we see when we see great needs surrounding us, because it can feel like the needs are endless. We want to say yes when someone says they need help. We say yes to ending homelessness, trying our best to meet that need. We say yes when someone shows up at our door in a request. We say yes, and we dive into the efforts against human trafficking. We say yes to helping to end food insecurity. We say yes to poor education. We say yes to helping to fight against immigration rights. And we say yes to ending racism. We say yes to LGBTQ rights. We say yes to helping in foster care. We say yes to women's rights. We say yes to environmental justice. We say yes to everything that shows up at our doors. We want to help everyone who is vulnerable and marginalized. But despite our best intentions, we find ourselves experiencing little change, frustration, depletion of resources, and ultimately spiritual and physical burnout. It's like trying to fill a bathtub with a drain wide open. No matter how much water you pour in, it never fills up. Family, in these moments, we may realize that this relentless drive to address every need can overshadow the foundational aspect of our faith. This serves as a reminder for us today that when urgent needs arise, we must strive to pause and reflect, seeking God's guidance rather than rushing into decisions. Standing firm in faith means trusting that God's timing is always perfect, even when it feels like we're in a season of waiting. Having faith in God's promises is trusting the release in when and how and with whom that promise will manifest. We need to be reminded that Hebrews 11:1, which tells us that faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Faith isn't just about tackling every need before us. It's about trusting in God's promises and God's timing. Just as Abraham and Sarah eventually had Isaac, the child of promise, we can hold on to the hope that God is working behind the scenes, preparing us for the blessings. Intimately, our faith journey invites us to cultivate patience and discernment, allowing God's promises to unfold in His time rather than succumbing to the pressure of immediate need. Family, in doing so, we can navigate the complexities of life. We can do it with a spirit of trust, knowing that God's plans for us are far greater than anything we could ever orchestrate on our own. In moments of feeling empty and hopeless, we must remember that our faith is not based on our ability to keep promises or meet every need. Instead, our faith rests in God's ability to fulfill His promises. Now, we can apply this by placing our faith in God's promises, trusting that He is in control, even when it feels like a chaotic game of Jenga. I hate that game. I do not like Jenga. You know, it's like, because at first you feel like, okay, I can do this. You feel confident. Maybe a little cocky, thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. But as the tower gets taller, a little shakier, if you like me, you get a little anxiety in you. You start sweating. My palms start getting clammy. I start getting tense. I start telling everybody, be quiet. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to figure out which one is supposed to be. I'm holding my breath. I'm waiting for which one. Oh, don't do it. Whew. I'm speaking like it's going to crash down. And then there's always this one person that's doing this. Stop tapping it. They feel like if you just tap it, then you know which one it's going to be. They're going to take out the loot. They're taking shortcuts. That's not even how you play the game. That is not a secret trick. That's cheating. That's called cheating. We all know that's not how it works. And they may get away with it for a little while, but eventually gravity wins and the whole thing comes tumbling down. Family, let's be clear. Having faith in God's promises is not like playing a game of Jenga. God hasn't placed before us an unstable structure that's just moments away from collapse. His promises are not some precarious stack of blocks ready to tumble at any moment. In fact, we don't navigate our faith by chance, with sneaky tricks or desperate shortcuts. There won't ever be a time when we, as his children, choose to embrace his promises or extend a helping hand to someone in need that will call the whole world to come crashing down around us. Instead, we can stand firm knowing that the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run to him and we are safe. That's Proverbs 18:10. Unlike Jenga, our faith in God's promises isn't about balance. It's about unwavering strength. Strength in our faith. His promises are solid. They're reliable and never on the verge of collapse. We must trust in him wholeheartedly, knowing that we are safe in his tower, anchored in God's love and his guidance. Family, we are called to be the church. And being the church means trusting in God's promises and stepping into our call with faith. We can't take the easy way out or sit on our hands ignoring the cries for help or to go into the world and preach the gospel. Nor are we called to be demigods, trying to tackle every issue, every problem, every call that comes our way just because we believe it's the right thing to do. No, we must trust that God will provide, that God will guide us in our efforts. That's how you have faith in his promises. I want to invite Erwin back up. Now, Christ's invitation to have faith in God's promises isn't meant for us to burn out or lose ourselves under the world's weight. The challenges that people face are not ours to solve. They belong to God. Our calling is simply to have faith to believe that his promises are yes, and in him we shout, amen. Somebody shout amen. We often place an incredible burden on ourselves and our desire to meet every need and tackle every problem. We want to be the fixers. We want to be the caregivers. We want to be the ones that have it all together. But family, we can't. The desire to do that can become overwhelming very quickly. And if we're not careful, the weight of trying to meet every expectation, to solve every issue, will eventually start to chip away at your faith. And it'll lead you to question whether God's promises are actually reliable. Maya Angelou wisely said, "I can be changed by what happens to me, but I refuse to be reduced by it." So this sentiment to me reminds that while our experiences can shape us and should shape us, they shouldn't diminish our spirit. They shouldn't chip away at our faith, God. When we allow the world's pressures to dictate our worth or our ability to trust in his promises, we risk losing sight of the truth that we are not meant to carry this weight alone. It's essential that we recognize that we can't do it all. The problems people face are often beyond our control. And that's okay, because we trust in God. Instead of feeling defeated by our limitations, we should lean into our faith, allowing it to give us strength and clarity. By resting in the assurance of God's promises, we free ourselves from the anxiety of trying to meet every need. In moments of doubt, when the weight of the world feels heavy upon our shoulders, Let us remember that the faith, that our faith is our anchor. It is our shield against despair. It is our sword in the battle of righteousness. With even a mustard seed of faith, we can move mountains and shatter the chains that bind us. Family, let us march forward, not with fear, but with fierce determination. Let us proclaim that we will not be silenced, we will not back down, and we will not lose sight of God's promises, no matter how long it takes. We are here to uplift, empower, and transform by the power of the Holy Spirit. Together, we will shine light, the light of Christ, in every dark corner, casting out shadows of doubt and despair. And as we leave this place today, let us carry the spirit of resilience and love in our hearts. Let us be the change we wish to see in this world, fueled by unshakable faith and relentless pursuit of justice. Together we will rise. Together we will proclaim, glory be to the promises of God that guide every step we take. Amen. Amen.